You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
...8:07 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson. 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. In a couple minutes, we're going to get to the libertarian, the lathered up libertarians.
We're so lathered, Chris. So lathered.
I do want to remind everyone, we have our amazing fundraiser this Saturday. And I want to, I appreciate all of you who RSVP'd. We're about 175 folks for the fundraiser at the Westward Look. We have some amazing raffle prizes. Now remember, when you pay the hotel when you get there, you're $45. That's going to be cash or credit. And then when it comes to buying raffle tickets, we'd rather do cash or check, but we will do credit card for silent auction and things like that. So again, we're giving away a 20-gram chunk of gold from Tucson Coin and Autograph, thanks to Seth and the crew there. It's worth about $1,200 to $1,300. We're giving away an Italian dinner for 20 people, four-course meal, wine paired. I got a wino with me, too. Sorry.
Wine steward.
Wine steward with us. Anyway, so that's going to be cooked by CJ Hamm and me, believe it or not. A private dining experience will be the funnest thing you'll ever do with 20 of your friends. So that's going to be up there. Dinner with Dr. Joanne D. Filippo, a F-16 simulator experience with Ted Maxwell, and a ride-along with Sheriff Daniels down in Cochise County. So you can chase 17-year-olds that use their WhatsApp to do a deal with the cartels to drive illegal immigrants 190 miles an hour through Sierra Vista. That's true. So anyway, it's going to be amazing. We've got some great ticket packages, Marshall Tucker Band, Little River Band. We got amazing. Of course, all of our food restaurants came in huge with different gift cards. So can't wait to see you guys at Saturday night at 5 p.m. Matt, is he still there? Real quick, before we get to the libertarians, Hank Amos was listening to Sergio and Ted before we got on the air. Look at your back, Amos. You missed us so much. You had to call back. What you got?
I had to call back because in the last segment, they talked about what can we do to change Tucson. And before I get there, I want to give some kudos to Ted Maxwell. He's done a great job for our community. I mean, that guy works super hard. He's on top of every issue. And things would be a lot worse if he wasn't helping out. So no, I want to say thank you to him.
I always separate. Ted does very good work. And the organization that he works for has its issues. But Ted himself does good work. So
he's amazing. So, you know, you take a look at the last race, the DA race, right, with Mike Jetty. And 20% turnout on the Democratic Party. Now, Mike probably is arguably one of the best candidates in the country to be a DA. He was overqualified,
yeah,
and he was tough. He is tough on crime. It would have been a home run hire or voting the guy in, right, for him to serve our community. Home run. All this mess that we're in would have been cleaned up pretty quickly, right? So it's the broken windows policy. He was all for that, right? That Rudy Giuliani had. But here's what happened. 20% of the Democrats, it was only 20% turnout, and the 20% turnout was the progressive party of the Democratic Party, right? The woke left, and they were highly organized. You and I talked about that. Get out the vote. They had probably 100% turnout. But where was the other 80% of the Democrats? Had they came out and voted with their minds, right? Because the other 80% isn't woke. They're normal people like you and I, right? But they didn't come out and vote. And so we want to change things. That side of the ticket, that 80% has to get involved. They have to come out and vote, and they can't let the progressive or the woke part of that party hijack their party.
So my quick response to this, and I got to get into my libertarian friends here, is it's the media's fault, right? The problem is those 80% Democrats are reading the Arizona Daily Star, Tucson Sentinel, Tucson Weekly, and some of the local TV news that just keep covering for these people. And that's it. So they don't think there's a problem, right? And so they think either they don't even know what a Conover is, or they think she's fine.
That's part of the problem. But yes. Look, it doesn't take a dummy to drive around town and see the issues that are affecting Tucson, and maybe we need change, right?
You're making the bad assumption that they're driving around. Right? I got a bunch of lefty seniors sitting in their house. They might go to Walgreens or the supermarket, and they're sitting on their ass streaming Netflix all day. All right?
All right. So then we got to make sure that we get the vote, get them to get the vote out and have them vote.
Well,
it can change, but those guys aren't voting.
Yeah, but no one's going to do that, Hank.
Smarter than the 20. They're not voting.
So when you find a group that's going to do it, I'd love to hear it. So I got to get going.
All right, you got it.
Thanks, buddy.
To you. Take care.
Have a good day.
Thanks.
Peter and Tara, how are you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing as good as we can be today, Chris.
Yes, thank you. And I want to commend you for requesting cash or check for your event.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If I want any libertarians to stay off the grid, this is what we're trying to do as best as possible. So we're doing cash or... You know, barter. No barter, trust me.
But I love it. Thank you for promoting cash use.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's something that's really important right now because we need to push back hard on anything digital.
Amen. We're going to go to break, we're going to cover electric buses at TUSD.
Sure.
We should cover the TUSD school board election a little bit.
Sure.
Just so people need to know. UNICEF sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about that.
As my granddaughter says, uh-huh.
And then we have intra-libertarian violence of the National Party endorsed RFK instead of your own.
The National Convention is throwing in and doing fundraising for RFK Jr. instead of endorsing their own candidate. Yeah.
I love it.
Discord. Not violence, but.
All right, we're gonna do that. Let's go to break. Me and Slavin are gonna go see John Anderson from Yes Tonight up at Celebrity Theater. So we're doing an all Yes playlist just for me and Dave and any of you Yes fans out there. So let's get going, Mr. Matt. You're on Wake Up Tucson. It's Libertarian Hour of Understanding and Forgiveness and
oh no,
all of it. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news. All right, welcome back to Wake Up Tucson. Kruger is coming up after us on Jump In Tucson, and he has the owner of, I think, Innovative Security, and they're going to do the primer for small businesses on how to protect themselves in Tucson, Arizona from all of the Connect Security. Clint Washburn from Connect Security will be on with Grant. Talking about protecting your business in these horrible times in the city of Tucson. So that'll save you some money, possibly. Peter and Tara, welcome back.
Thank you very
Glad
much,
Glad to
Chris.
Be here.
The Pima County Libertarian Party, and they have a wonderful podcast called Libertarian Minded.
That is correct.
Look at that, I remembered this time.
Libertarian-minded.captivate.fm.
Oh, God, all those. Jesus.
You're welcome.
Or at any of the podcast websites.
Yeah, you can just search Libertarian-minded on all major platforms, and you'll find us.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, so let's go with Tucson Unified School District. Let's start there.
Okay.
So let's start with electric buses. They want to slam through the purchase of 10 to 11 of these things?
Yeah, they do. And Chris, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to clarify something we said before going to break.
Yes.
When I talked about the Libertarian National Convention, I need to clarify that they are not officially endorsing RFK Jr. They are merely using themselves as a vehicle to funnel funds to his campaign.
Gotcha.
So we just want to make sure we cross our T's and dot our I's.
Trust me, I do not want to have a 14,000 page Facebook post from a libertarian pissed off at us for saying such things.
Who would? Right? Neither do I. Neither do I, which is why
I love you guys, but there's nothing succinct about you. So. Right.
So Chris, back to the buses. So,
yes, sir.
So as you know, I'm one of the people who sits on the bond oversight committee, and they just released their agenda a couple days ago. And
you are their worst nightmare on that committee.
Yes, he is.
You know,
which I love.
I want to be there to do my job, and I'm hoping everyone else on the committee will do the same thing, because we're there to make sure that the money is spent well, both in terms of fiscal issues as well as safety issues.
Because they also say when they sold that bond to everyone to vote for it, we're going to have an oversight committee of stakeholders who are going to make sure that the money goes where we promised it was going to go.
Right.
Are we violating that yet?
Well, so that's one of the things I'm worried about with this bus issue, right? Because when the bond was advertised to the voters, there was never anything in it explicitly about any sort of electric infrastructure. You know, the terms were very general, and we definitely need to do something with fleet services. You know, we need to make sure that we have properly working vehicles that are good for both the students and the drivers.
Sure.
Who are operating them, but they do not necessarily have to be electric. And so what the situation is that there was talk about doing diesel first, and there was a discussion and a vote on some diesel buses.
Yeah, they voted for 30.
Yeah,
exactly. Isn't there, at the last board
aren't
meeting.
Aren't there hybrid school buses? Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. There very well could be hybrid versions out there.
Christy Simone's using the interweb right now. Keep
okay.
going.
Okay. So they said that, you know, sometime later we would be looking at an electric option. And we're like, okay. And all of a sudden, this item comes down the pike in a real hurry. It's expedited. It's considered essentially an emergency item. And they were originally wanting to look at 6 electric buses. All of a sudden, it's 10 now. And I think that one of the reasons for that is there's some concern that come November, when we have an election, if the composition of the board changes, it may be a little bit harder to actually get this through.
Sure.
You know, so I think that they're wanting to get out ahead of things now and just get this done come hell or high water.
And let's be clear. Yes. Sorry. This has been the plan for a while. They have federal grant money that obviously they had to apply for and get accepted. And this took months and months. They've been in talks with TEP because they're getting funds from TEP. And they've worked with Schneider Electric to design the infrastructure they needed to include room for 10 more electric buses. So this is something that's been going on for a while that no one's been talking about. And now they want to shove it through as an emergency.
Right.
Now, but they want to use bond money to pay for the buses?
Yeah, yes. They want to use bond money to pay for the buses, and they're trying to sell it as the better, more cost-effective option. And in a sense, that's true, but it's only because they're getting massive, massive subsidies. They're getting an EPA grant for nearly $4 million. They're getting big TEP rebates to encourage them to go electric. And then they've got an IRA alternative fuel vehicle credit for $70,000. And so if it weren't for all of those subsidies, we would be paying a lot more for these buses relative to the diesel equivalents.
Right.
But they're saying that between this and then they're also estimating that there will be lower maintenance costs, which I think is impossible to do because electric technology is so new that there is no real industry standard to be able to estimate actual maintenance costs over time. We're looking at a 25-year window for
sure.
the use of these buses. And then they're also saying that fuel is going to be less expensive.
Electricity
relative to diesel fuel, if okay. we were to use diesel buses. And that's problematic also because what they're using to do that is they're just looking at charge the buses up front. It's not taking into account where that electricity is coming from, how it's being generated, or who's paying for the generation behind
Correct.
The wall, right?
Correct.
And that's something I wanted to add about the grants and monies. That's all taxpayer funded.
Yeah,
that's not free.
We used to call them Obama trees in the old days. The money just grew on a tree. And
yeah, well, so, and Tara brings up a good point because with these subsidies, there's sleight of hand because it's not just free money that's bringing down the cost. There's taxpayer money that's going in the other direction that is not being mentioned or factored into the graphics that people are being given.
Correct. Yes, ma'am.
Excuse me. I also want to bring up, Peter talked about the maintenance and what they... what the TUSD Bond Oversight Committee in their slideshow presentation is not giving a real world view of is these electric batteries.
Oh, I was that was my next question in my brain was how much does an electric battery cost for a
standard cars? They cost tens of thousands of dollars and can take 6 to 12, even longer months to replace, to get a replacement. So if you're talking about a bus battery, I would assume that it's bigger. Just makes sense.
Yeah.
But also you have the heat that will affect how long they are good for and how well they perform. So these,
they're like Goldilocks. They need the temperature just right.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's 80 and it's 80 degrees. How many months a year do we have 80-degree weather?
A few.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
a few. But so there's, like you said, it's Goldilocks. So there's two problems. If it goes too cold, which is less of a problem where we live, but, you know, just...
It's still a problem.
It's still a problem because too cold makes the batteries quit. So you just get stranded in traffic. If it gets too hot, you've got combustion issues, and that's actually a hazard.
Hold on, kids on sitting on top of a vehicle that's on top of a lithium battery fire is a problem?
Yeah.
Come on, Peter.
And do you know
what a square.
Do you know there's no known fire suppression for these batteries? They can try to keep them down, but they will keep the fires will keep popping up until the energy is totally dispelled.
So yeah. Beautiful. All right, one last question before we go to break. Peter, roughly how many buses in the fleet are right now in TUSD? What are we talking about?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Because my thing is they're going to go blow all this money on these 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Out of what? 100?
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, this is a fart in the wind compared to what you need to do to make transportation better for the kids.
Right.
Right? And then I assume the $4 million taxpayer grants are all going towards infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Of charging and all that jazz?
Yeah, well, and that's another issue, too, is that this requires a complete retooling of infrastructure. You have to put in the charging stations. They're going to be charging stations for buses. They're not necessarily.
And are they fast charges or slow charges?
That's right. You have to be careful in the heat about fast charging. You can't fast charge when it's hot. How?
All right, we're going to go to break. I'm going to let John Anderson take us out. A little I've seen all good people to the bottom of the hour. Wake up, Tucson. All right, my boy John Anderson from Yes. Slavin and I are going to drive up the road and see him tonight at Celebrity Theater. Steve Howe's running around with a weird version of Yes. And so this is with these young guys called the Band Geeks who are amazingly tight on the instrumentation. So looking forward to that. Libertarians whispering to each other. This is like a libertarian Illuminati meeting going on right now here at the...
I was actually reminding him to pull up the address for the meeting, and I didn't want that on air.
I appreciate such professionalism. That's beautiful.
You're welcome.
So our support staff, Ken, who's in another state.
Yeah. Yeah, Ken Richings, big shout out to our libertarian researcher who's helping us all the way from Washington.
Look at him using the interwebs. So anyway, 300 buses in the school, around
300 buses. Over 300 buses in the entire fleet, yeah.
So what we're going to do is, so there's broad categories in the bond package that they sold to the voters.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? And so what they're going to do, no one's heard the word of electric until now.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. No one in the taxpaying public has heard this. I'm sure there's been discussions behind doors. But we plebs out here, this is the first that we're hearing of it because there was a category dedicated specifically to buses and vans.
So you're outgunned on this committee because that I assume the three that want this because you got, this is Ravi's Mr. Electric, right?
Yes.
Natalie Luna Rose and Ekstrom, they all seem to vote together now. Is this a trend?
Yes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, they vote as a block.
So what will happen is you'll get outgunned at the committee and they'll say, but our bond oversight committee recommended to us this was a great thing.
Well, that could very well happen. But what I want to say real quick before we talk about the election and stuff like that,
yes.
Is that people do have an opportunity to come and do a call to the public about this issue. And I want to encourage anyone who feels passionate about this, if they're able to do that. So the meeting time is at a crappy time for your average working person. We meet on Thursday, tomorrow, between 1 and 3 in the afternoon. The call to the public will be in the first hour. So, you know, it'll be, you know, sometime between 1 and 2, probably closer to 1. But the address is going to be, the location is going to be the multi-purpose room of the Duffy Community Center. That's at 5145 East 5th Street.
Okay.
And so we've never had anyone come to the call to the public in the meetings that we've had so far. It's been crickets. I would love to have some people come and talk about this, because I know there's a lot of people out there who have feelings about this.
Absolutely.
I will be.
I bet. No, when I was on the Transportation Advisory Committee, I loved that we had people who come to the call of the audience, because you had people who had good, real stories about how what was going on with their crappy roads, right? And it's kind of the fact that when we made decisions, when I was going to vote on things, those people who came and gave a crap, I really kind of put that in my decision making, right? That they were active enough and paying attention enough to go do these things. So I thought that was, it's important. So tomorrow I would get there at 1 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah. Be there at 1 o'clock, be in the audience. There will be plenty of seats. Most of them are empty.
Yeah. That's okay. So again, so we have three people up for election.
Yeah, three people.
Sadie, Natalie Luna Rose, and Ravi Shah. Ravi Shah.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can tell, under the tutelage of, especially, Sadie has shown a independent streak.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Which we like. I'm not saying that Sadie and I agree on everything, but it seems like she's willing to have the conversation, and she doesn't just be a zombie of Ekstrom, Shaw, and Rose.
Agreed.
She listens very well to people, to constituents, when they have a call to the public at a governing board meeting.
Yeah.
She's extremely attentive. She gives feedback, and she actually tries to meet people's needs and get stuff done.
Yeah.
And I love that, because it really puts across the... I'm blanking on the words. She really acts like she cares, and she listens to people.
Yeah.
And that is very important, especially now.
I agree.
Yeah, there's stuff that I agree with her about. There's stuff I don't agree with her about. But she'll have a conversation, and she's willing to adjust her opinion about something, which any of us should be willing to do.
And when you say, I tell people, when you look at TUSD, right? Since 2020, when Ravi Shah got on, the place got worse.
Right.
Right? They're going to tell you that they got a bond passed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They always think they're so great because they got a bond passed.
Right.
Right? But they still suck. Mm-hmm. Right? Gabe Trujillo was on this show several months ago saying that their decisions during COVID blew up kids' educational process.
Oh, absolutely.
Just blew it up.
Right.
Talking at least a year or two behind.
Right.
So sad.
Right.
And they weren't alone in that, but unfortunately they followed the majority of school districts making choices that were to the detriment of the students.
Well, anyone ever, see, the problem is elected officials don't like to apologize publicly or admit they did anything wrong.
Right.
That's why I always give love to the Marana School District when they all decided that they'd been teaching reading wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we're redoing it. We're going back to phonics.
Yeah.
Nice.
People don't realize that was like one of the hugest public decisions of an elected body, that the Marana School Board said, we have been teaching reading incorrectly for the last 10 years or 20 years.
No,
and we're going to do it right.
Yeah. And I want to give a shout out real quick to one of the people who's not up for election, but Val Romero, who came in last year. It's one of the things I really love about him is that he will own his mistakes, and he is not afraid to take responsibility and apologize if he realizes that he has made a wrong decision, which I cannot say about some of the other board members. Yeah.
You know, I appreciate humility in my elected officials.
No, they are public servants.
Right.
They are not our overlords, right? They're there to serve us. And a spirit of humility is an extremely good sign, because it means that they're taking their job seriously.
Amen. But, you know, everything we've talked about, right? Reading levels, right? Where those third graders are at TUSD. Still a travesty. They're still below 20% probably as a school district at anyone reading at level, and the whole thing. And Ravi Shah and Luna Rose like, give me another 4 years. why don't you just keep sentencing kids to life in just knowledge limbo?
Right. Well,
that's what I like about Pilar Ruiz, who is also running, because she calls them out on that. Look at the statistics. What are our ratings? How are the kids doing? What are you doing about it? Her focus is, let's get the kids to perform better, not all this other social engineering stuff.
Yeah, I mean, statistically, if we're talking about educating kids to read, teach them how to be better, right? How do they educate themselves, right? You mm-hmm. have to give them the tools to educate themselves.
Mm-hmm. And become critical thinkers. That's very important.
Right. That's not happening.
No.
Right. No, it's not. I want to second what Tara said. I really do support Pilar because she has actually been involved in the school district in various ways. She's been watching for years. Mm-hmm. She understands a lot of the dynamics, what's going on. She understands a lot of the fiscal issues in a way that I bet some of the current members probably don't.
Yep.
And so she would be a very welcome addition to the governing board because she would understand the issues and make practical common sense decisions.
So the other part of this is the mechanic of the election, right?
Right.
So when you get your ballot to USD voters, it's going to say vote up to 3.
Mm-hmm.
You're only going to vote 2.
Right.
We have to learn how to double shot Pilar and Sadie.
Right.
And you have to do that. Mathematically, yeah. This is advantageous.
You're right.
Do not throw away your vote on Shaw or Rose. You're literally just kicking kids in the head at that point.
Right.
So all right. You're saying only vote for 2 people, even though the ballot says up to 3.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Don't be a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Just to clarify, Shaw, maybe just so.
Yes. Sorry. Thank you.
Oh,
yeah. There's
good
2
point.
Shaws. So there's Sadie Shaw, Shaw, and Ravi Shaw, Shah.
All right. So
pronounce the same spelled differently.
Sadie Shaw and Pilar, just vote for those 2. Do not throw away your other vote on Ravi or Natalie Luna Rose. It's amazingly important. You can make a difference. Because if you had a Val, Pilar, Sadie, I'm not saying it'd be perfect, but you have a shot.
Right.
To start bringing TUSD out of the toilet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and Chris, I want to also bring up that there actually is another 3rd option that we haven't talked about yet.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned this guy.
Yeah.
I forgot about him again.
So there's a younger guy who's running. His name is Esteban Flores.
Oh.
And I've met him a couple of times. I don't know him as well as either Sadie or Pilar, but from what I have discussed with him, I think that he has good intentions and he's got a good attitude, and I believe he would also be an improvement.
Again, you just literally told me about him 11 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I already forgot about him.
That's okay. That's why we're bringing him back up now.
Thank you.
I want to do that because you're kind of instructing people about a voting strategy.
Oh, okay, I forgot about him.
Yeah, well, and there's going to be 3 bubbles, right? And so you can actually fill in all 3. You can do Sadie, Pilar, Esteban.
I mean, I can already tell this man will be hated by the TOSD power structure when he says, I'm called to serve to promote and secure the blessings of liberty. I already know the Ekstrom people will hate his guts.
Most likely.
So right now, let me change my tune. Most likely, you're going to vote for Sadie, Pilar, and Esteban Flores.
Yes, there we go.
Oh, look, you apologized and changed your opinion.
Look how humble Chris is right now.
I apologize once every 7.5 years. I'm just kidding. All right, let's go to break. Visit some great sponsors. 8:46 in the morning. Our friend Grant Kruger's coming up at the top of the hour with the gentleman who owns Connect Security, Clint. And they're going to go through what you can do to protect yourself from the various denizens and ne'er-do-wells walking around the streets of Tucson around your business. Or you can go to Zach Yenser and Michael Guyman and they'll tell you how to rearrange your shelves at the Metro Chamber where you're only robbed every 3 weeks instead of every 2.5 weeks. So good going, Coalition Against Retail Theft. You suck again! Wake up. More wondrous stories here at Wake Up Tucson. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. I'll be half in the bag tomorrow after coming back from John Anderson tonight, but I'll be here.
Tired, not inebriated.
No, yeah. Thank you, tired. That's right.
Yesterday was the whiskey dinner. So
we got Congressman Swikert, Tom Carlson, Marana school board member, and Mark Van Buren's going to come in and do the actresses list, best actresses, because he's going to be on vacay going up. So we're going to bring him early. And then Wendy Gauthier, Ron Arenas, Sean McCluskey on Friday. We're hanging out with Peter and Tara from our libertarian friends, Libertarian Minded, on all fine podcast and MySpace pages. Check it out when you get a shot. Speaking of podcasts, you can catch me on the Live the Dream Media podcast at 10 o'clock. Just go to Live the Dream Media on your Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube, and you can watch me and Clint go over. We call it the working title show because we don't have a real title yet for it, even though we've done six of these. So we're getting there. We're getting there. All right. I asked you a month ago.
A month or two. I don't remember
Peter
which
Norquist.
One. Sometime
I said,
this summer.
We're putting a gun to your head.
Yeah.
And you have to pick between Joe Biden and Donald J. Trump to vote for president.
Right.
And after thumb screws, water torture, you mumbled out the words Donald Trump.
Yes, I did.
And now you want to do a revision of this.
I want to do a revision of this because I have modified my views
since then.
And I think this was 2 months ago because there's been some water under the bridge since
then. I think that's correct.
Yeah, yeah. So what I would answer now is I would channel Chase Oliver, one of the other presidential candidates who was asked exactly the same question, and I would say the gun would go off.
Oh my gosh.
My brains would be splattered all over the floor.
So you're going for your own homicide or suicide, or homicide, instead of voting for Donald Trump or Kamala Harris.
Right, exactly. And okay. We can replace Biden with Harris and totally fine. Same question. Yeah. Yeah. And the reason for that.
Wow.
Yeah, and the reason for that is because there's been a lot that's happened in the last couple of months. And one of my big concerns is that what I see happening is I see a power structure that lays behind both the Republicans and the Democrats, basically working them together, even though what we're allowed to see is theater that shows them at odds with each other. And let me give you a couple of examples. So for the last few years, there have been two issues that have been in play that have been really controversial. There's been immigration and there's been election infrastructure.
Yeah.
There's problems with both of those. And
yes,
they have been essentially and rightfully laid at the feet largely of the Democrats.
Okay.
In terms of their policy. Now, here's the problem. There's something called a Hegelian dialectic, which is problem, reaction, solution, where you create a problem on purpose, you get people to react to it, you get them all fired up and angry, and then you present them with the solution of your choice.
Right.
What I'm seeing happening, especially since the J.D. Vance nomination, because that is bringing in all of these Silicon Valley people, billionaires, you know, so people like Elon Musk is backing this, people like Peter Thiel, the Winklevoss twins, the founders of Palantir.
The Winklevoss twins sounds like new Bond villains.
Doesn't it?
I love that.
Right.
We haven't had twins as villains. We need to do that. So what you're saying is basically it's the idea that there's a technocracy?
Yes, exactly. So here's the solution to both of those problems, immigration and voting.
Yes.
For immigration, it's not going to be just putting up a wall. We're going to be putting up a smart wall. We're going to want to have surveillance infrastructure that's going to be dual use because although it's ostensibly going to be sold as keeping people out of the country who shouldn't be coming in, it can be easily also used to monitor people within the country. So that's one thing. Election integrity, what is going to be sold there is a digital solution where mm-hmm. we basically ensure that all people who are voting are eligible voters by taking their iris scan. We're going to get biometrics on them, get digital IDs, and make sure that everyone is plugged into the system that is ultimately supported by the United Nations and the World Economic Forum.
Let me ask you one quick question that's just a little off the topic, but we got a minute and a half, so this is when I always ask the big one.
Yeah.
Trump assassination attempt.
Uh-huh.
Was it just that they were lazy and unprofessional and didn't do it right? Or was it done on purpose to whack him?
So I'm going to give you a frustrating answer.
Are you running for office?
Yeah, absolutely. Someday. No, actually never if I can help it. True story. I don't know, Chris. My position on the Trump shooting is that there's a lot of different theories out there. I'm not an expert on the kind of things you would need to be, like ballistics, things like that.
What's your gut tell you, Peter?
My gut tells me is that there was an element of that was real, and that there was a real attempt at some level, but there was also a desire for there to be an outcome that elevated Trump as a hero in the public eye. And Trump may have not had any knowledge of any pre-planning of anything. I'm not saying he was in on anything.
Wow.
And I also want to say I don't condone any sort of violence in any sense.
I'm with you. Tara, what about you? What do you got for me? We got about a minute. What do you think?
Of the Trump shooting?
Yeah. What do you?
I don't know. I agree in a lot of sense with Peter that, yes, I think some of it was planned. Maybe not to the extent it was, but I think the outcome, no matter what, was to play him as the hero, because now after the shooting, you see the difference in how people are forcibly supporting him very more energetically.
Yeah.
Wow. And you see that switch.
It was a perfect next step after the debate where Trump crushed Biden. There's no question, right? So that elevated him. This was the next thing. He had an interview with Elon Musk recently. That's going to boost him even further.
Look at this. That was the hottest, spiciest question, and I waited right to the end, so I apologize.
That's all right.
Leaves us hanging. Now we get to next month, have another one.
All right, we'll see you guys next month. Grant Kruger's coming up next.